Okay, it must have worked.
Awesome.
Excellent. I'm going to be quiet for a moment or two.
All righty. Thank you all, and thank you for coming. This is the October 18th meeting with the three boards, and which includes the Board of Selectmen, the Board of Finance, and the Board of Education. At this time, as a call to order, I would ask everyone to please rise and salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would you remain standing, please? There has been a terrible tragedy in Bristol last Thursday. We have our flags at half staff. It has a special meaning. It's not enough, obviously. It is heartbreaking. For those families, for that community, and for our state. So at this time, I would just ask that we have a very special moment of silence in remembrance of those fallen soldiers and their families, former fallen policemen. Thank you. So I am appreciative of that. You're obliging me to do that. It helps put it in perspective what we're here to do tonight. We're here to talk about a government that helps our people in our town, protects our people in our town, protects our workers, protects those, and cares for those who are in need and those who serve. At this time, is there any public comment? Millie? There's nobody online, is there, that would like to speak?
I don't see any hands.
Very good, thank you. So we will move right on to number three, discussion on budget and related items for the current fiscal year, next year, and subsequent years to include. So we will start with revenues. At this time, I would turn to Jill. Would you like to make a presentation on the revenues?
Sure. So fiscal year 2022,
oh, you need to speak up just a little bit, sorry.
Fiscal year 2022, the Board of Finance revised their budgets to $21,279,419. We came in over that at $21,407,669, which gave us a surplus in the revenues of $127,650. Now, this, we have to remember, is all unaudited and subject to change. In the expenditure side, the town returned or didn't use $622,367. We promised to give back $169,747. So the money going towards next year as their surplus unaudited is $452,620. Board of Ed returned $625,769. They promised $200,000 back. So that gave them $425,769. For a total of those, the two Board of Education and town proper, it's going to be $878,389. That again is unaudited and subject to change. And I know since we sent our trial balance to Stephen, there have been several invoices all of a sudden popped up. So there's going to be, that number will be less just in what I've seen in the last couple of weeks, as a matter of fact, today too. So that number will come in less.
How much, Would you clarify a little less or a huge?
Well, I can't. From what I've seen, it's about $10,000 less, but that's only what I've seen. That there's still going to be discussion between myself and the auditor and where things should, if they, we may disagree with where things should fall in either 22 or 23. So what he sees and wants to do a journal entry to is yet to, you know.
Thank you.
Yet to come, but. I've seen about $10,000 that will be expended back in 22.
I have a question from Mr. Aramita.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, is
Mike Aramita?
Yeah, the 878,000. Do we add the 127 to that?
Hold on, just one minute.
Mike, I'm sorry.
He asked if the 127. Gets added to the 878,389. The answer, yes. I believe, is yes.
Yes, it does. So that's going to be $1,639.
Say so that again.
That does not include the adjustment for the last 60 days or the 60 days into fiscal year 23. So that will be subject to change also based upon that number of taxes.
Okay.
So
we're
then we'll take 50,000.
We're close to a million surplus.
Say it again, Mike.
I say we're just about a million in surplus then.
Just over a million, but now we have to subtract 50,000 off the top to the rainy day fund.
Okay. That's fine. It's still money that we have to the good. Where, which pocket it goes in, I don't care about right now.
I can't.
This is the way.
At this time, I'm going to just pause. We're going to pause the meeting for a minute while we see if we can sort out the technical difficulties.
Kathy, I'm trying to figure out why I don't have volume coming out of the owl.
Did you turn the volume up?
Yes.
Just checking. Just checking. You don't never know.
How about on the computer? And up.
And there's none coming out of the owl?
Nope.
It's got to have something to do with when they moved it today.
The volume on the screen is showing at 100%.
Yeah, it is.
It worked. Kathy, it worked at the last meeting.
But it got moved to set up for today.
So it was working.
Yeah, and that's, it's got something to do with that.
She said it was working earlier, though.
When, because I could hear Mike Aramita the last.
No, it wasn't. We weren't using the owl. We didn't have the owl at the last meeting. It wasn't working at all.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
Barely.
How about now?
That's better.
Yeah, but it's coming out of the speakers on the computer rather than coming out of the owl.
Oh, interesting.
So go to, again, go to... the audio on the bottom?
Yep.
Hold on, because I can't see your screen.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that.
Where it says where you can mute the screen, where you can mute the volume on the bottom left?
Yep.
Go hit the arrow there.
Hit the arrow. Next to where's the audio? Yep, hit that. Then select a speaker, and I don't know which one you want on there, but try another one and let's see what happens.
I'll try.
There you go. Try now.
All right, Mike, talk to us.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Now you can mute Mike.
I'll mute myself.
Are you ready to call back to Earth?
No.
Thank you.
That makes me feel younger.
You're with the grandchild. In the grandchild category.
Get it from my second child.
You all set?
All right, let's try that.
All right, I'll call the meeting back to order. Is everyone comfortable with the description of the revenues from Jill? Very good. Then we will move on to the expenditures. So that we can take both of those off, revenues and expenditures.
Excuse me, question.
Yes, sir.
In looking at the backup on the expenditures, would this be the appropriate time to comment on the tuition revenues? That was in that part, I think, right?
We have that coming up at number D.
Okay, I'll wait.
Thank you. Any other questions? Matthew, you want to come up to the table? Yeah, come on.
Well, we might not be able to pick you up if you talk.
It's mostly the owl.
The owl will see you.
Thank you, sir. All right, let's talk about the debt service. Jill, would you like to give an overview of the debt service?
You want to do the just the tax revenue for 23, or just where the percentages were at? I mean, everybody. The revenue for 23 tax revenue.
Sure, go ahead.
So the tax revenue of August 31st was at 99.24%. And the motor vehicle and real estate is at 88.47%. And this collection is at 98%. And we don't know the supplemental motor vehicle tax yet. And
sure.
Question, ma'am?
Yes. Sir?
Is there a reason why there's such a difference between the regular tax collection rate and the motor vehicle collection rate?
Yes, there is. There is a connection between your taxes paid and your registration of your vehicle. If you do not pay your taxes, you cannot get your car registered by the DMV. That hook is really only good every 3 years. So when your registration comes up, it used to be a 2-year registration, and then with COVID and whatever, they changed the law, it's now 3 years. And so some people just sort of stretch it out, and they'll pay it when they get to pay it. And they will pay it by the time that the registration needs to come due. So we have a lag behind in that situation.
And our motor vehicle tax is lower than our property tax, the personal property tax. It has always been a lower percentage of collection.
And it is lower now because of the state law.
Exactly.
There's that.
Aramita has another question.
Bob, Mike Aramita? I'm sorry, Adam, are you done?
Not a question. Pam, could you recognize people by their name? Because we don't get to see everybody that's sitting in the room, and it'd be nice to know who's talking.
Thank you, will do. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Are there any questions from anybody on the screen? All right, then we will move on then. Can we talk about the debt service, please, Jill?
I don't know if everyone knows, but in 2021, we refunded part of a previous bond.
Would you describe what refunding is in case there's someone that doesn't know that expression?
It's actually what we would call refinancing. The part when our bonds, they can become callable. Not all the bonds can be refinanced at any time. They're callable is what they call it. And then we can refinance. And because everybody knows with COVID, we just dropping. Our financial advisor advised us to refinance the callable parts of our bonds. So we did, and we saved a substantial amount of money. So we did that in 2021. So those bonds we paid off in May of 2032. Then we also did a small bond in 2017. That was a 10-year bond that will be paid off in 2026. We also, at that same time, refunded the callable part of the, I believe it was the 2010 bond. We refinanced part of those, and they will be paid off in August of 2030. So the original, the 2021 we funded, they were originally the 2012 bonds for the high school and the fire truck. And then the refunded, yes, and so that was what I just said, the portion of the 2017, we did a portion of the callable portion of the 2010 high school bond.
So we look now at the further on that page, and it has the debt payment schedules. Jill, is there anything
for
you'd like?
2023. To this is what we highlight. Pay in 2023 for our debt. Of that debt payment, $655,000 was the portion of the supposed to be the portion that was paid off by the tuition, but unfortunately, because of the growing amount of students, we're going to be shy by $424,000.
So that brings in item number D. And Bob Monroe, you wanted to discuss that?
Yeah, mainly it would be addressed to Kristen, I guess, because I don't think we've actually heard the final numbers for Columbia enrollment this year.
Kristen?
Hi, everybody. Good evening. So we projected 22 students for this year, and we have 22 students from Columbia.
Okay. So my question is, why do we have such a huge shortfall? Is that going to be something that's going to put our budget out of whack this year?
Then let me clarify that question a little bit, Bob, make sure I'm understanding what you're asking.
We're showing
a lesser number of students than last year. Is that what you're asking?
But 22 students is what they projected, and that is what we put in
budget for, right?
But when the original bonding went out, there was an anticipation or a guesstimate that there would be more students. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's just a difference.
My understanding is that when that happened, the estimate was 12 students a year. However, you know, they have much smaller numbers over time, which I have demonstrated, you know, year after year, and they have added additional offerings as well.
So you're saying 12 students per class?
Per class, correct. So it was, I think anticipated at 48 students was my understanding when I first came to Bolton in 2012.
And now
there were more. When I first started, there was in the 50s.
There certainly were years, I agree, Jill, where there were more students. I'm just sharing what my understanding of what the commitment was or what it was based off of, I think.
And we'll move on if there's no other questions.
I'm still going 10 in here.
Bob Monroe.
So I think you've answered my question. I just want to make absolutely sure, Jill. You know, we're talking about shortage of 420,000. That was off of old projections. This has nothing to do with the budget year since we budgeted the right amount for tuition, correct?
Correct.
All right. So that certainly satisfies my question. That was a concern. Thank you.
But it's a 20 or 30 year look at the bond and how it pays into the bond as a payment method.
Well, just that, you know, the debt payment went up substantially from last year, and it's because of the number of students. It's not because of, you know, what happened within the payments of the bond.
And there's less revenue coming in from the students. Right. Numbers.
Correct.
But, very good.
But it will not, we budgeted what the information we were given, and it's not going to affect this year, the 23 budget.
Excuse me, while we're still on this topic.
Yes, go ahead, Bob Monroe.
Maybe Kristen could comment on how we're doing with the choice kids.
We're at 41 students.
Wow. That number surprises me. I thought it'd be less. And how's that compare to last year? About the same, then?
About the same.
All right.
We did not have... and similarly, I think to other communities, they opened up more seats. We opened more seats, but Hartford parents chose not to avail themselves of the seats.
Okay, got it. Are there any further questions, Bob Monroe?
No, but Charlie has one evidently.
Thank you. Charlie, Dana?
Yep. So there is an actual shortage of funding for that, of 420,000 plus change. How is that taken care of? How do we make up for that shortage?
Taxes.
Right, we budgeted more for the debt service.
Exactly.
Okay.
It was in the budget.
Correct.
Did that help you, Charlie?
Thank you. Yes, that answers the question.
Could I?
Adam Teller.
Can I direct a question to Kristen? Kristen, is there more capacity for other students from various sources?
Adam, I heard you. Is there more capacity? And that's all I heard.
For other students, I mean, besides, we don't have more Columbia students. Do we have capacity to take other students from other sources, whether it be choice or wherever?
So we certainly could do that. We are beginning the process of looking at what that might entail. It has potential ramifications that potentially could be negative for the town in terms of liability for special education costs. So we don't have that liability to a certain degree with Columbia because we have a partnership where we are a high school of choice. So, you know, to say that we would open up seats for just whoever is around us, you know, the districts would not be entering into an agreement with us. It would be more of a tuition piece. So I've asked the attorneys to look into what the potential ramifications of that are, because in the end, it has the potential to be not helpful.
Are there nearby towns that don't have that are oversubscribed that need?
Did you hear the question?
I did hear the question. Not that I'm aware of. No.
So it would just be accepting private tuition students of some sort or some individual arrangement.
Correct. So it would be on an individual basis. And then the special ed, the legal piece comes into play there because it's not an arrangement with another district where they take responsibility for the special education costs for a special education student, as is our agreement with Columbia to a certain point.
Mm-hmm. I would like to ask a question then. Do you still take students of staff?
We do, yes. And they're tuitioned in based on what the contractual agreement is and how many years the staff member has been a staff member in Bolton. And we have a number of staff members who like to have their kids attend the Bolton schools.
And that's a great credit to the school system. Here. Thank you. Any further questions for Superintendent Heck on the issue?
Bob
DiPietro. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. I'm sure I'm late.
That's fine, sir. We're glad to have you.
I got my flu shot. And my question, Kristen, is you said they have attorneys looking into this. What kind of attorneys? State, local, our own, or what?
The district's attorney, the Board of Education's attorney, education attorneys.
Well, the Board of Selectmen find out the results of that. Or is that strictly Board of Ed?
It will be shared with the Board of Ed eventually at a public meeting once we're able to kind of gather all our ducks in a row, if you will. I don't think it's going to be like a, it's not going to be a this month or a next month fix. I'll just offer that.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, anybody else in the room would like to address the issue?
Just anybody one else? Question.
Bob Moore?
If I may, Christian. I know where the issue is, my question really is, in your opinion, can it be addressed in the legislative level? I mean, the way Connecticut structures it is what puts us in such an awkward position. I don't know if the superintendent's group have in their lobbying and this and that have addressed this issue or
Is that one of the issues that's paramount that, that is going to be looked at? Because we can't be the only one where that is an issue.
Yeah, I don't, special ed as a whole piece needs to be my perspective and other superintendents' perspective, and certainly the superintendent's organization. And I know Pam, I think, agrees with this. It needs to be fixed. It is an issue in this state of monumental proportion. And there have been discussions. We have been lobbying for a better approach, but that has not seemed to be able to be, hasn't taken hold, Bob.
Thank you.
That's been an issue for almost two decades. Thank Correct. You very much. Appreciate it. So if we're all complete, finished now, if we don't hear any further questions on the Columbia student count, we'll move on to capital improvements. We'll start with the Board of Selectmen. At this time, we'll start with number one, office space and meeting space. And I'll turn this over to Jim Rupert for a short presentation.
Well, I mean, I think it's not a surprise to anybody, certainly in this room, and probably to anybody that is listening from the public, that, you know, we are very challenged with the town office buildings and meeting space, although I think meeting space has been alleviated, at least for the time being, with the use of the two classrooms or former classrooms that were occupied by the Y at the Natural Municipal Center. I know some of you have had some meetings in that space, and I've gotten some pretty good feedback about the availability of the space and its size. So I think that's a good, you know, solution for the time being. But at the end of the day, we still lack the ability to have a large meeting of any kind in a town building other than one that's controlled by the Board of Education. And they're always good partners when we have to do that. So it's not generally problematic unless they have, you know, some need for the space at the same time. We do have a plan in place so that we are working toward meeting of our goal of providing some safe office space to relocate the individuals that are in the Notch Road Municipal Center. Certainly, it's not a perfect solution. You know, currently leading the organization, I would much prefer to have all of the people that report to me in the same building. It creates better teamwork. It brings better collaboration. And it just poses less challenges. So it will be a temporary solution, but at the end of the day, one of the things that the town really does need to be thinking about is a new town office building that will serve the need not only for today, but for at least, you know, my goal is whenever we do a project like this, that we look at least 50 years down the road and try to make sure that we plan a structure that's going to meet the needs of the town for at least the next 50 years. So that is certainly one of the things on the board's list of capital projects to keep, you know, in the forefront. Probably is not the most pressing issue of all of the issues that we're going to talk about tonight. Certainly ranks pretty highly.
Question for Jim on that particular issue?
I do have a question.
Alex Rivera, sir.
Thank you. I think everybody recognizes that this is a need. I think there's been other areas of our town that have that look very pretty. And I think it's time for the town hall to get its turn. I am a little bit of a history buff. And I like to preserve history. And so my question is, what will happen to this historical building once we do establish new town offices or even a new town hall?
So that I will address that. That is a question to be reviewed and considered. And I think it's something that we would bring to ask the community for their input as well and come back. And then we would have a better decision what it could be used for. Now, some of us here are older and have children who had dance recitals, and they used the stage for the dance recitals. And it was quite lovely to have the Irish step dancing and the tap dancing and It was very, it was fun. And there were small plays that were done in the past when it was back when it was a hall and we had full use of the hall. It is a limited number of people that can be here, but certainly we've really limited it by bringing four office spaces into the area. So we'll go back to the community. We will do a study and we'll sort out that answer.
Thank you.
It has been included in the ECI study that was done back in 10, 11.
Scott, could you speak up a little bit? Scott Rich.
The ECI, right, communities, right. That we did, that this building and its use with the new town hall was considered for, certainly not economic, I think, but to return to the public. That's what I call
center of some sort. Yeah.
Yeah. Community center and meeting space, yes.
I think it's done. The town website.
It is.
So we can go look, we can go back and check that one out. Thank you, Scott.
I know that in the past we bring this up continually and it does need to get done. I think it's unfortunate we're going to have to go to a temporary solution. But we've also talked about having plans, and I know I believe we've even gotten to the point where we had some drawn up, right?
There were
Are we back at square one with that or?
There was some student drawings that were done by UConn students. There was nothing formal, official, nor accepted by the Board of Selectmen. Conceptual.
Sort of choices that would, to see sort of extrapolates, to see which would generate the most interest.
Okay.
Sort of like versus building a separate building, adding on to this building, that kind of like very base level choices. Very pace level.
Let us add one thing to this thought process, if I might skip down just a little bit to number eight. We'll add number eight to number one. Most of you do know that we did receive the STEEP grant for the septic field for three buildings, and we're very excited by that. Most of us are.
Oh, no, I am.
You have to create another
more
account.
More paperwork for Jill.
No,
yeah.
Just
a big smile for you, and thank you for what you do and regarding grants when they come in. So that will be for three buildings. It is something that has been talked about for almost three decades, probably.
At least.
And we applied, and the staff jumped right on it and did a great job, and we got it passed through the appropriate channels at the Bond Commission and OPM. So there is $500,000 there, and there is considered and added in $125,000 for our match, and some of that will be in-kind donation. So we have to think about that for our budget as well, but it will answer. And I love the library's comment. They were so glad that they wouldn't have to put outhouses out in front when there's an event out on the green. So we have old septic systems, and this will really be a grand way to, I think, move things forward. Jill.
Can I ask I know that there's an in-kind portion that is it the engineering part that we're going to be able to use for an in-kind?
We did ask for a ruling from the DAS, the grant administrator, and the response that we got back is the monies that we have already spent on engineering and design can be counted toward our match.
So all the way back to the beginning?
Right. Okay. I think, you know, we'll have to be able to appropriately document it. But as long as we can actually do the project for the $500,000 in cash or less, that would probably mean that there's very little outlay on the town's part.
And for those who don't know, DAS is the Department of Administrative Services.
And our current engineering service, we're the ones that did the original design. So records are readily available. So we shouldn't have a problem with that. If I may just respond to Alex's. That thought process has been going around because we've talked about all kinds of alternatives to do with this building. And the most common theme was it was a community hall. It can be go back to quote a community hall. With the other added benefits is you have a vault over there for offsite storage for for data. I mean, instead of having, you know, offsite storage, if you have to pay for it, it's quite expensive. You have it right here, and it's simple things like that. And it just, it's like history, not going back, but repeating itself, in that this building can go back to it, to what it was originally designed for. It really wasn't really designed for its use right now.
Thank you, appreciate that. Yeah. Ross Lally?
Yep, just to, I want to follow up on, you know, like Alex's comment, because I have voiced, you know, the same as he has about, you know, take different areas of the town needing to have their time in the sun, so to speak, because we have a very good fire department, we have very good facilities for our schools, and we don't really have good facilities at all, you know, for the town staff and for the town people to come and meet. And, you know, an example of it, as I've mentioned before, is, you know, the old Bolton, you know, school that we use for a municipal building. So I'd like to make sure that as we have these conversations, we have a, like, couple of different things to keep in mind. Is one is the future, we got to balance our budget. And then two, we got, you know, the present, we got to look ahead for the present for like a year or so, make sure we have a balanced budget. Same time, we got to look ahead because we have bonds maturing at different times. And we got to keep that in mind because we have to know when it's appropriate to do new bonding, to do something like the town hall. And you can't do that if we're always just looking at the next year. And the bonding is important because you can't take out too much money, because if we don't have enough money to cover it in a rainy day fund, then, you know, we start worrying about bond ratings. So there's like, what we do now, and then what can we do in the future with how we handle these various expenses. So we keep an eye on, you know, that bond rating too, because if that goes down, we pay more money. It's like having your personal credit rating. The lower that is, the more you pay for money. So this is kind of like that same thing that we need to do. And I feel that that's what I'd like to do a little bit more over at least the next year while I'm still on Board of Finance, is to just have those discussions to make sure that we're looking further down the road and realize, like, yes, ideally, Board of Selectmen would like to do this in the perfect world. Fire Department would like to do that in the perfect world. And Board of Education has their own ideas of what we do in a perfect world. And none of that is going to happen perfectly for everybody. So we have to figure out what are the compromises we can make to help shore up some of the other areas that may not have had attention. And yet you can't neglect things like the school needs a new roof and stuff like that, because you can't let those buildings fall down. They're a valuable asset, but by the same token, we let that happen with the municipal center. So we've got to keep, you know, an eye on all these different things. And sometimes somebody's going to get a little bit more, and then next time somebody else. So I just, that's what I'm going to try to look at it with when we have our meetings. And I ask you folks for help with this, is what do we do near term, and how do you, you know, look ahead and help us remember there's some things we want to do in the future, and yet we want to protect our bond rating so it's cheaper to do them. And people want to invest in the town, because this is all part of making this town beautiful and appealing to the people who live here. So we've got fire, so people are safe. We've got a good education, but we need some places where people can come and meet. And when they come in, it looks like this town's going to be here for a while and that its offices are not falling down. So
thank you.
My
for
little
that.
Point.
Thank you for that. I will just add one point that when we do, and this goes back to having an listened to, as a community building, there will be a cost to that for maintenance, for upgrades, for that type of thing that we need to think about as we move forward, not just a new office building. Who's got the hand up? Bob Monroe, sir.
Thank you. Question, I'm really pleased to hear that the town was able to, you know, diligently prepare and apply for a grant and receive monies that will get us a step down the road on the septic area. My question is the capacity of this septic area. I think you mentioned, Pam, three buildings. That's yeah. The existing town hall, the troopers, and the library.
Yes, sir.
Is it going to have enough capacity that we could actually build on to it with some sort of an addition or something to take care of our space needs?
Can I answer that?
Bob Moore.
I'll go back to when we first did testing for that site. That was our, that was part of our items that we did look at. And the area that's been tested and approved, you can expand the leaching area to accommodate a totally new building and add it. So, and the system doesn't rely on gravity flow. It relies on a grinder pump system. So you can put another building anywhere on the town owned property within this area and just simply tie it in.
Let me add to that then also the consideration of the barn over at the farm. That's a possibility to be able to use that and bring septic, and then we'd have to figure out water, but to be able to have facilities for bathroom facilities over there. So if we can move on then, we'll go on to the Nacho Municipal Center. Jim?
Well, realistically, we need to tear the building down and we need to build a new end wall where the existing building will separate from the piece that houses our two meeting rooms and the senior center. There doesn't seem to be grant monies readily available for this at the moment. We are looking at a cost of somewhere between $1.2 and $1.5 million. So we need to look at how we're going to fund that. It's my anticipation that within the next several months, we will no longer be housing offices there, which is going to mean that it becomes even less used. And I think even more important that we look at the removal of that structure, because it's going to continue to be a vacuum for tax dollars for, you know, certain aspects that we're going to have to continue to maintain. So I would like to see us find a way to remove that building sooner rather than later. And to Alex's point about the preservation of history, you know, there may be an opportunity to save some of the elements of the building that can potentially be incorporated into a new structure in the future.
Thank you. Are there questions for Jim at this point? We have just been joined by Amanda. Thank you and welcome as part of this. We are on 3EA2, Nacho Municipal Center.
Adam's waving at you.
Adam, sir.
Jim, could you just, in your sense, prioritize between taking down Notch Road, building a new town offices, and the firehouse? Which of those three projects, and in what order, do you think are the first priorities?
Well, I would actually add a different one in there, which is not a Board of Selectmen, but also but a Board of Education. I think the three highest priority projects, and I think the two that are somewhat equal are the Bolton Center school roof. And not because the roof itself, I mean, we can maintain the roof for a while to come. The issue really there is we're having degradation of the parapets on the building. And at some point, that's going to become a safety issue that I'm truly concerned about. And I'm sure Kristen and the Board of Ed recognize that, and they're also concerned about that.
Also, the thing to consider is that we were trying to get to a point where the high school and the center school were 10 years apart on their roof replacement cycle. And now we're moving toward for the high school's 20-year coming up. And, you know, if they get too close together and they got back-to-back,
yep,
major expenditures.
So to press you again, prioritize the three projects you think are the most
important. I think that the three most important projects are the Bolton Center school roof, the teardown of the Notch Road Municipal Center. And of those, to me, unfortunately, as much as I'd like to see the firehouse have an addition, it would be the last of right. of those in a priority list.
So, I mean, this is a meeting of the three of the four major boards in this town and people who are theoretically at least leaders and to some extent opinion shapers for this town. And I would, because I agree with Jim exactly in that priority, mm-hmm. that people should be forward about putting those priorities out there and expressing that to the community, because while it's a little bit of a painful realization, that is where this money needs to go. And when you look at the schedule of bond retirements, there will be a couple of years of pain in there. I'm sorry to say that. I'm sorry to tell people that they might some years have to pay a little more in tax to achieve those goals. And then hopefully for some relief if they stay in town long enough to get that later, because back, you know, 10 years from now, there is some relief. But that's the rule. That's the truth. Tell them the truth and stand behind it.
So let's add something to that, that for some of the newer members. Let's go back to the roof. Kristen, the roof will fall under the state reimbursement, and that is just under 50% now. Is it 48?
Right.
Currently?
I think we're around 46 at this point.
And that is there's a quite a complex formula that is derived from, and a major part of that is considered our wealth. I believe there is minority students as well. So please consider that when you're thinking about the roof. The teardown, Jim and I have talked about it, and we are looking and seeing and what we can find for grants to help us do that, because that's a big piece of it, to get that down. I see it as a safety issue. I also don't want vandalism getting in there. People who want to remove things that are, it's not appropriate that they should be removing it at some time without a reason to. So that's that. And the firehouse, we have not looked at funding, or we're awaiting the temporary building commission.
Temporary building committee.
Committee, not commission. Committee.
Yep, they're working on this, and there is funds in the budget when they finish their work for us to begin a preliminary design. Mike, is it 35,000? Does that sound right?
Yes, I believe it's 35,000.
So we could actually start the planning for the project. And I think we've been given a preliminary budget figure, which is kind of a rough guesstimate of anywhere between 1 and 1.5 million.
Yeah, Jim?
Yes, sir.
Is that the Nashville Municipal, or is that the
firehouse? No, that's the firehouse.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Mike. Mike Aramita?
Yeah, I just, the 1.5 is probably a very good figure to go by to just add an apparatus bay, one more bay to the building. There will be some additional funds necessary because there's some deterioration of brick and things like that on the building. So whether we go forward with an addition or whatever, we're going to have to spend some money on the building to maintain it, just like other buildings. You have to do roof, you have to do repointing, you have to do things like that. And water is seeping through the brick and through the block and popping the in. It's actually spalling inside the building. So there's some maintenance that's going to have to be done on that will be in addition to that 1.5, or have to be done should that 1.5 not ever be allocated.
We're getting estimates to try to potentially include some of that work in next year's budget.
Right. I understand you had a bricker out there checking it and everything. Yeah. So
thank you.
But if I could speak to the proposed addition, the proposed addition that the fire department came to the Board of Selectmen with was basically an addition that was on the table when they built the building in the late 80s. It showed a potential or the need for an additional bay when they first built the building. And apparently the town decided that 3 was sufficient and proposed at that time that it would be done at a later date. Unfortunately, the size of the apparatus has changed. The small cab over Fords and Chevys and the small rescue trucks are not what's available anymore. And the trucks, the rescue truck, for example, was 22 feet long, and now it's like 38 feet long. And they're just, when you back the two in end to end, you find about a foot between the two vehicles. And we've already had one whoops where one hit the other. Thank God nobody was standing between them when it happened. But it's something that's, yeah, you know, I don't disagree with your priorities. It's just something that will be, you'll have to face.
Ross Lally?
No, I just wanted to follow up, just go back just a little bit with what Adam had said, that I agree 100% with that. It's also something that Jill and I had spoken about this afternoon, is the need to agree to what our priorities are, the need to communicate to the town, and to remind everybody periodically, you know, including ourselves, you know, of this commitment. Because otherwise people have a short memory, including ourselves. And I think that's what, you know, we have to find a way to keep that, you know, communicated among ourselves, stay on message, and also stay on message with the taxpayers. Because this is unpleasant.
I will add to that, and that is that there will be a change a year from this November. There will be a 7-member board of selectmen. There'll be the board, the finance committee, created, and so we will have perhaps change of personnel, and they will need to be brought up to speed. Thank you. So is there any other further questions about the firehouse addition? Then we'll move on. The fire truck, should you want to take that, Jim, or do you want to turn it over to Michael?
Sure. I mean, we have a fire truck on order. There was a down payment that we put on it, and we have a balance due when the fire truck is delivered of about $630,000. And we are currently looking at funding opportunities for that balance.
Do we have any funds that have been put aside for this? Is there any?
They were
spent.
Down payment
that was the down payment. So there's nothing left in that account.
Correct.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Jim or Mike Aramidano?
Just a quick question. When are we expecting that and for that bill to come due?
Is it a year from now, Mike, as I recall?
No, I believe the latest projection is next spring. We're a little ahead of schedule. So I think there's a good potential for it to be before the end of this fiscal year. Just a little side note. We purchased that truck for, what, $810, I believe. And since we purchased it, it's gone up about $150,000 in cost, which we don't have to bear because we signed a contract. So the manufacturers of fire trucks have gone crazy with their prices. And we were lucky when we put the down payment and signed when we did, because should we be buying that truck now, it'd be significantly more money.
Thank you for the good news. Is there any other further questions on the fire truck? Scott?
I'm on the Kappa list. Is this the 334?
No, tank 334 is not. That is not the truck. It's an engine that's being replaced.
It's what, 1994, I believe.
It's not on the, we have to find a way to fund it.
We have to fund it.
We have it on order and it's coming in spring and we don't have funding for it.
That is accurate.
Yeah.
Yep. The way the delivery, this is Ross Lally. Since we said originally it sounded like it was going to be in the next fiscal year and they right. sped up, do they have to deliver it this fiscal year as opposed to delivering it to us next and we pay that?
That's a question. Mike, could you hear the question?
Yeah, I could. And I think if we were to not take the truck when it's done, they would probably sell it to somebody else and we'd wind up paying the additional costs of having the truck done again, so to speak. I think we're kind of locked into when it comes. Like I said, I believe it'll be next spring. That, you know, I can't predict what's going to happen with supply chains and everything. It's moving a little quicker than expected right now, but it was estimated at a year from when it was purchased, which was last February, last January, something like that. So it's longer than a year if we get it in the springtime anyway. So
Mike, Ross Lally again. So yep.
actually asked them that if that's what they would do if we asked if we could deliver, because I didn't hear you say you actually asked them and they said they would sell it to somebody else.
Oh, I didn't ask them and nor would I ask them to do that. That's we've signed a contract with them and it was a 12-month delivery and it's going to be longer than 12 months. And so, you know, it was what was agreed to by the town when it was signed for.
Okay, so we have a contract then.
Right, right. We own the truck and we've purchased it. And like I said, you know, I wouldn't want to get into a situation where we try and renege on that and then have to buy it for another $200,000 higher.
Thank you, Michael.
Just to give you, I got to give you an example of something. We purchased the ladder truck about 10 years ago, I believe, for about $800,000. Mm-hmm. And I was speaking to the sales rep the other day, and that truck is now just a touch over $2 million with a 3-year waiting period. So just to give you an idea what's happening with that market, it's insane, the increases that are in that market.
Bill, did you want to respond?
I don't believe there is a specific date of delivery.
We don't have a specific date. I'm going by their estimates. The company that sold it to us gave us an estimate. They said probably next spring, and they didn't give us an exact date, but they were talking in the springtime. Springtime could be July. I mean, we've waited for things that were supposed to come in the spring and haven't showed up for 6 months after that. So we can hope that it's a little late, but, you know.
All I was getting at is I want to ask the questions and make sure we also agree to what the answers are, as opposed to we don't ask. And
I would recommend you don't ask them to delay something that would open a can of worms that you don't want to get into.
Appreciate that. Ross?
No, I just wanted to finish, you know, and just say, do we agree or not agree that we should ask and, you know, check into this further? So again, I will just lay that out on the table. We don't have to decide now, but I just, you know, guys, I think we have to just start being a little more creative with some of what we do within reason and within our contractual obligations and whatever. There's a chunk of change to have to come up with for this year.
Well, that vehicle, one way or another, will probably be bonded, whether it's a lease purchase or however it's funded. It's not going to come out of the actual operating expenses for this year. There's no way to do it. So it's going to be a bond similar to the other fire trucks that have been purchased.
Bob Moore?
We've purchased apparatus in a highway department through the lease purchase process. What that does, however, is that it puts pressure on your operating budget. So there's no...
It comes out someplace. Well,
exactly. There's no reason. There's no easy solution to this thing. It's just a matter of what pocket the dollars come out of. If it's bonded, well, it comes out of debt service. If you lease purchase it, well, the lease, that amount comes out of your... That lease payment comes out of the town's operating budget. So the town would have to figure out how to make that work.
And the taxpayers pay for it in the end.
One way or another.
No matter what. That's the bottom line.
If I can let Jill? Everyone know that Jim and I have been talking to our financial advisor, and he has given us a few different ideas. And we'll have a better idea of what our options are once we get closer to the date that we're going to be taking delivery. But Jim and I have talked to the financial advisor. I have another meeting with him in December to see if we're any closer. And he spoke to us about a couple different ideas of how we can go about paying for the truck.
Very good. Mm-hmm. ARPA, then we'll move on. If there are no further questions, Jim?
Well, we've received most of the money that was promised to us under ARPA funds, all of it. The last payment came in. So we've received all of the funds which are currently in an account, and we have talked about a couple of projects. The project that we had talked about with the Board of Selectmen that was seated at the time was to bring a water line in from the town of Manchester. At this point in time, since we don't have a commitment to do that, nor have we started any planning. There is no opportunity to do that between now and the time that we have to start spending that money.
Sometime in 24.
I think it's 2024.
2024. Thank you.
So we've really got to look, you know, the Board of Selectmen has really got to look hard at some of these projects and see if there's something that they would like to move forward with some of those funds. Joe, maybe you could just explain how those funds work and how we did the calculations about whether you use it for a project that fits in a certain slot or whether you can use it with fewer restrictions.
Well, they opened up the loss of revenues so that we didn't have to do the calculation. Right. So that, and that gave us a little more
flexibility,
but I haven't really looked at it recently, so I wouldn't.
Yeah, we would have to look to make sure that any project that we chose fit within that. I mean, from a paperwork perspective, because we have to be able to demonstrate how all of this money gets spent. It's audited, there's rules, there's guidelines that we have to follow. You know, one large project certainly would be easier from the paperwork perspective than a bunch of small projects. One of the thoughts that I've had conversations with a couple of the Board of Selectmen about is that it may in fact be enough money to do the teardown of the Notch Road Municipal Center, and we would try to include the BCS greenhouse removal at the same time as part of that same project.
Got a question. I thought you could not use those funds for something that was already on the capital list.
The rules have changed a lot.
They've changed.
Final ruling, and I did actually print off some information today, but I didn't get a chance to go over it. But they did have a lot of changes.
Okay.
Still, you can't pay a pension or
those personnel salary.
Right, but the rules have changed quite a bit, and Jim and I haven't had the chance to look at the final ruling, but there has been a final ruling.
And if we don't use them by 2024, right, we lose it.
Correct.
We pay it back. We give it back.
But I don't believe it's January 1.
No, I don't believe it is either. I just don't know.
I don't remember the date either. But
I guess my point is that the clock is ticking, and especially if we're going to, if we decided to use it and it fit within the guidelines to do a teardown of Notch Road Municipal Center, that doesn't take a lot of planning. Mm-hmm. That's something that we could turn around in a fairly short time frame. On the other hand, if we wanted to build something or create something or do a more complex project or a bunch of smaller projects, it is going to take more time and more work and more planning. And so I want to keep this as a topic in the forefront so that we are thinking about it and we are considering it, and that we can here in the probably not too distant future plan for it so that we're not at the 11th hour trying to put a project together.
Any further questions on ARPA?
1.4.
If we do use the money incorrectly though, then we have to pay it back.
That's correct.
So it's the...
And we can propose a project, and we can actually get a ruling to be sure that the project is acceptable before we commit.
All right, Scott, will you finish with your question? Yes. Any other questions? Anybody on the screen have a question? All right, then we'll move on from ARPA. We'll go to the connectivity trail. Jim?
I got an email actually yesterday from Craig Babowitz, and we have a commitment from them to fund the project. I am waiting for a final letter, and we will be able to actually start. At some point, they'll send Jill a check once we execute the final agreement between us and the state. They've had all of their questions answered. They are happy. So as soon as we start getting the money for that from the state of Connecticut, we will start purchasing our long lead time items so that we can go to construction as soon as we have the ability to do that. For those who may not know what the connectivity trail is, it is a multi-use trail that will go from Notch Road to the corner of the parking lot over here by the state trooper's office. And it will be basically a stone dust path. And as part of that, it'll be on this side of the road. As part of that project, the ditch on this side of the road will no longer exist. It will be piped. And so that'll make that section of Bolton Center Road a little bit safer from that perspective. And we have applied for a LOSIP grant to take the trail from here to the farm and potentially beyond. And that grant, if it's accepted, would really create some wonderful opportunities, especially, and I know I'm skipping ahead to the LOSIP grant, but what excites me about the LOSIP portion of the grant is that the piece from the town hall over to the farm would be 100% ADA compliant. And to me, that's really, really exciting that we would have a fairly sizable piece of the trail. You know, we can create some parking here at the town hall where we can have accessible parking available and just make sure that, you know, by doing this, our outdoor resources are available to everybody of all physical abilities. And I think to me, that is really exciting. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed in hopes that, you know, the LOSIP grant is something that we are actually approved for and can continue that trail from here over to the farm.
So this whole project is funded elsewhere outside of town?
So the LOSIP grant is 100% funded from the state. I mean, sorry, the connectivity trail is 100% funded from the state. But it is something that we are intending to construct with town resources so that we can afford to do it within that dollar value. The LOSIP grant does have a small match, but most of it will be taken up by the money that we've already spent on design.
We have our fingers crossed that the cost haven't gone so crazy that it's going to go outside the budget, but we're hoping it's going to be all right. Yeah. Any further questions for LOSIP?
I'm just wondering, Amanda. Did I go to public hearing at all? The connectivity trail, only because I've heard concerns from some residents.
Connectivity trail has had two public meetings.
I've heard about it at meetings.
Yep, connectivity trail has had two public meetings, and the largest concern was about trees, and we have damaging of trees during construction. And we actually have a proposal from a gentleman who specializes in preserving trees during construction. He works for Distinctive Tree Care and has come with extensive experience with projects at UConn.
If there's somebody you think we should reach out to that you've heard from, please just let us know and we'll reach out and give them more information that we can help them with. moving on then, Bob DiPietro?
Yeah, I'm so happy to hear you, Jim, talk about accessibility. But I also want to make sure that the trail does not get interfered with our plans for a possible septic system or construction of new buildings, right?
All of these things have actually kind of been finalized in design at the same time. Great. So they will work in harmony with each other, Bob.
Great, thank you.
So we've done number 8. Thank you, Bob. No further questions then on LOSIP number 7. I don't see anyone. So we'll move on to 9 other. I do have one to add for those people that don't know. We do have had received a grant through the senior center. There is a pickleball court that is being put up now. one behind the senior center for use for, by the public. And there's also patio furniture that had been purchased for that grant for the senior center as well. And it's something that they're hoping to use quite a bit next spring and next summer.
Board of Selectmen did fund some of the patio furniture.
Okay, what did we know?
We did.
I thought I saw.
I want to make sure you get credit.
Bob DePietro, did you fund this?
I love pickles.
You love pickles?
I thought I saw a $50-some-odd-thousand charge in the AP for pickleball court.
Thank you. So that was just one of the fun things to add. So if anything under other, Jim, that you can think of?
You know, one of the reasons we put this on here is so that, you know, if the selectmen or anybody here at the table has other priorities that the Board of Selectmen should be considering under their, you know, future capital projects, it's an opportunity to, you know, bring those to the forefront.
Adam, Mike, Bob DePietro, anything to add? Then we'll keep the meeting moving on. Going on now to B, Board of Education. Would you please start with number one for the talk about the school roof, if you feel there's anything else that needs to be added that we haven't covered so far?
If I could just add that we now have the whole roof now is eligible for replacement. Before, we were on two different cycles, which was part of the reason why we had pushed it out. We do pay $1,500 a year for a roof warranty, which comes with a yearly inspection and repairs as needed. And when it rains really heavily and we might have leaks, they come out and fix it. But to Jim's point earlier that he raised, that is still a growing concern for us. That's all I have for the roof. I don't know if Scott wanted to add anything.
Scott?
I'd like to just add a placeholder value assigned to this, which has been blank way too long. And I would propose that as a placeholder for more than $2 million assigned to it.
Would that be the total cost or would that be the township?
Total cost.
Thank you.
Scott, I'm sorry, we're having trouble hearing him on this end.
Really?
Scott, could you speak up, please?
Well, I'm just suggesting that there needs to be an order of magnitude just for discussion purposes and understand where we're talking about. Right, the roof is about 78,000 square feet. And prices today for re-roofing projects are $25 to $30.
Does that also include the parapet reconstruction?
In today's market,
is that
would be roof.
Is it
any repairs to deck and building from the deck up?
So there's more money.
There would probably be more money.
We should look at. Would you say under your professional hat, not your board of ed, but
extent of the masonry repairs that need to be done?
All right, so we'll put $2 million plus.
But I'd rather there be that number that gets us into that neighborhood.
Scott, you just kind of keep fading off, man. You got to speak up.
Who's speaking?
Bob.
I'd rather the number be there as as an order of magnitude than to have nothing.
Yep.
But it does not include the other masonry repair.
That's not, it's not professional estimating. That's just experience right now.
Thank you very much for that thought process. I'd like to ask the $1,500 roof warranty fee that you pay every year, Kristen or Jill, is that something that they do? Kristen, is that something that would go up yearly? Because the roof is older?
Nah, maybe it goes up because everything's going up right now. So maybe it's $1,600 next year. Okay. Yeah.
Not doubled. Okay.
No. And our reimbursement rate for 2023 is 47.14%.
Bob D has his hand.
Bob DePietro.
Yeah, I'm just curious, Kristen, Scott, or Jim, do any of you know whether or not solar installations also go with some of these new school roofs? In other words, has anybody ever talked about adding solar
Yes, there has been those discussions. Number two will be the high school solar question. Kristen, would you like to, or Scott?
I have a comment about the school roof before we move on.
We're still on the school roof. Hang on then, Bob DiPietro, with that question.
So,
Jim?
One of the things I do in my spare time is I chair the school building committee for the town of Ashford. And we have an estimate for a similar size roof of $4 million. And we do not have the parapet work that the town of Bolton has. We will have to raise the parapet simply because insulation values have changed. So this is an architect's bid, you know, the guy that will design this rather than, we haven't gone out to bid yet, but we're trying to fund the project. We're at the point where we have to fund the project because the way this works is we have to fund 100% of the project and then we get the reimbursement. Fortunately, our reimbursement rate is in the 63% range rather than the 40 something percent range. So, I just wonder, you know, where that number would actually fall.
So we have work to do on that one.
We have work to do. Roofing right now is one of the most expensive building products on the market.
And we are in competition with Florida. There's a lot that's going on in and Puerto Rico and those places that have been so devastated.
You have a question on the screen from Mike Aramita.
Mike Aramita?
You're muted.
My question is a question and a comment. This is New England, and anybody that puts a flat roof on a building in New England has got their head far up their keister, thinking that it will survive. The reason that all the houses in New England have peaked roofs is because people are smart enough to know that the water will run off a peaked roof where it settles on a flat roof. And the ice building up and melting and building and melting just deteriorates a flat roof. And other towns have taken schools, and we saw it at St. Maurice's Church with the center in the back. They finally gave up and put a peaked roof on it. I think we should have built the school with a peaked roof when it was built. And I think we should examine the ability to put a peaked roof on that school if we redo it. If it costs us additional money, I think it's money well spent, because a roof that will last 20 years, if you put a peaked roof, you'll get at least another 10 out of it. And
we have a history, Michael, we have a history in the town of doing that. We did it on the addition to the present town hall, the portion that has the...
Right. Yes, I agree with you completely. And that's why I'm bringing it up. I know it's a big building. I know it would entail steel trusses to span that and an engineering study to see if the exterior walls can support it. But I think if we're... You know, we're looking at a minimum of $2 million and maybe significantly more than that. I think we're crazy if we don't look to put a peaked roof on structures that we re-roof at this time.
That's a good question to put before a temporary building committee when they're, or I guess your building committee to add that to your review. Thank you very much, Mike. Anybody else want to?
Pam, can I offer one more piece about the roof project? And that was that we did have an HVAC study done in preparation for examining the roof. And we recently had a meeting. A couple of the selectmen were able to attend, and we appreciated that attendance for sure. So we are just awaiting more information from HF Lens. They're still have some outstanding information to provide to us per the request from that meeting. So that's just more information forthcoming. And to Scott's point, and eventually I'm going to get to Mike's point, you know, we may want to wait a couple of years to see if things settle down between, you know, the cost of things, what Pam has shared in terms of resources. And then we may want to consider potentially putting in for a CAPA request for an engineering study, to Mike's point, so that we kind of have all of our components looked at, I guess.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And I would say for the HVAC study, those of you who haven't seen it, it's a good read, and it was covers a lot of possibilities and choices that works out very well.
Pam, can I just say one thing? Yeah, you know, we're talking about things right now that that we should be, you know, remembering when we go forward, because these are things that should have been done 30 years ago, 20 years ago. The buildings, a two-story building with a flat roof and school going into June, we knew we needed air conditioning back then. We knew we should have put a different roof on it back then, you know, and we cheaped out. Unfortunately, that's exactly what we did. We got cheap, and we built cheap trying to get everybody on board with the construction. And doing that just comes back to bite us in the long run. You know, we're looking at air conditioning that's, you know, that's going to be significantly more than if we'd put the ductwork in to begin with, and significantly more for a roof, and all kinds of things. And I think we as a board of selectmen and other boards have to look at being, the old penny wise and pound foolish or whatever it was, you know, cheaping out is not the way to go every time. And I think we're seeing some of that come back to bite us now. And I hope, I may not be on this board by the time we do some of these things. And I hope the people that come after me think about those things. And
let me just add a little background to that, Michael. Those of you that were around, many of you were not, it took three referendums to get that passed. I was on the Board of Education at the time. I'm very aware of what you speak, but it was also at the same time that there were four major projects coming out at the same time. And then it was found that could only do three out of the four. And that was over a course of a number of years trying to get them passed. So it was an uphill swim to get that project. And it was difficult. It was a community difficult situation. It caused a congregation to split. So we have a church congregation over that school building issue. So I'm very sensitive to exactly what you speak, but there were great hopes that we could have done everything that you just said and put it into the light of more expense, but it came down to dollars and cents and how much the town was willing to spend on that particular. And as I said, it took three referendums to get it passed.
Well, it took two referendums, and the third because the Board of Selectmen voted not to allow it to go forward and forced it to another referendum.
There was a change in the economy. There was a no vote. There was a yes vote. And then there was a second yes vote. You're absolutely right. Going further on, then, is there anything else on this particular roof, the warranty, or any other question? Very good. Then I will move on to number two. The Bolton High School solar, that was a question that was brought up just a moment ago by Bob DiPietro. Does anyone want to address that? Scott?
We don't have any updates other than I provided Richard, I don't know how you say Richard's last name, Zadzul.
Yes, yeah, close.
Okay, trying, sorry. our energy bills, Richard and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago. We have tried previously for small solar projects to be approved for the high school. They have not been approved. I think we're just in a holding pattern right now to see what comes of the center school roof in the next few years or so. And it's possible, may want to consider maybe like a bundle, right? The roof at center school potentially, and something, a smaller project at the high school.
Well, we wouldn't put, if you're coming closer to the roof need for the high school, you wouldn't put solar on an old roof?
No, not solar on the roof. I apologize. In the parking lot on the side by the cafeteria, and potentially in the parking lot on the Board of Ed side was what was looked at previously. Only those two spaces.
You're talking about garage style roofing?
Not by the Board of Ed. This was done by...
Here. Very much against solar going on the roof. That way.
The parking lot study.
Parking lot's a good idea.
We're
it's a better idea than on the roof.
Wait, we got two people talking at the same time. Hang on, Scott has the floor.
The parking lot, you know, building those covered structures
said style
was something that the Board of Selectmen initiated, and Board of Ed, to the best of my knowledge, was never included in those matters.
Correct.
Ugly. An eyesore.
Thank you for that, Bob Monroe.
I just, my limited experience with home ownership and building homes and stuff like that has led me to believe that trying to put solar on a roof of a public building is not a good idea. I'm all for putting it somewhere else on the ground where it can be serviced, and the wear and tear on the roof, which can be enormous for repairs, becomes a non-issue.
Thank you. Is there any other further discussion on the high school solar? We don't have any further information. It's not on the, apparently not on the plate right now. Very good. We'll move on then to number three, the high school soccer field and track improvements. Kristen,
so John, is...
go ahead.
Kristen?
Sorry. John is trying, been working hard to try to get some updated numbers. We're not meeting with a lot of success, so he's going to stay at it. But he has been off the last couple weeks, so... But prior to that, he was trying and no luck.
For those new members that don't know, this is John Butromovich, of which she speaks, and he is, what's his title?
The
Director of Buildings and Grounds for both the town buildings and the school building. Any questions about that at the present time? If not, we'll move on. Complete funding for the Bolton High School storage building, Kristen or Scott?
So I got some updated numbers from John. So currently there's $150,000 in Kappa to go towards that project. And there had been a lot of discussion about it should be a six bay, bigger is better because we have a lot of things to store. There is not enough space for a six bay. There's enough space for a four bay that's oversized, 30 by 50. And currently the cost of that is about $187.50 a square foot. So we're looking at projected cost right now today of $281,250.
Is that the Jill? Garage that we're speaking of? That, well, it's the garage?
Yes,
it's the one that we already have some funding right. in.
So we have $180,000 because remember what was left over from the match grant for the locks?
It got reallocated.
There, so there's $180,000.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
base money right. to get started.
So you're closer than you thought.
Right. So awesome.
$100,000+.
I did ask John, Kristen, to get pricing. Sorry, Mike.
Nope.
I did ask John to get pricing from the buying consortiums that we belong to, HGAC and Sourcewell. I don't know if he's gotten that far yet, but we have found, well, case in point, Mike Aramita talked about the fire truck purchase that was purchased through HGAC, and that immediately saved us in excess of $100,000. So those are good resources. And one of the things that I will be asking all of our supervisors as we enter into this budget season is to consider looking at all of these places, even for everyday items like plow blades or paper or, things like that, that we may be able to purchase at a savings through some of these consortiums.
Thank you. Mike Aramita?
Yeah. Along with Kristen, you said there's no room for that six bay structure that you're talking about. With our move to shared services and a hopefully someday public works department, right now we have the parks, the gentleman's in charge of parks, is in charge of grounds, is in charge of the school building and grounds. A couple of questions. Number one, do we have space at the parks department area to put that building, since it would be utilized for both schools? And following along with that theme, the equipment would be used by both departments, since it's going to be someday a public works department as opposed to school grounds and town buildings and everything. Just thinking that might be a way to get around the size and get the size building that you need right from the get-go, putting it in a little different location. And number two, along as long as I'm on this theme, we're talking about purchasing a skid steer machine. And I hope that the powers to be that purchase that don't assign that to any one department so that a union could lay claim to the fact that it's their machinery, so they should be running it. When that comes in, I hope that's town of Bolton, period, not parks, not street, not schools, so that that building can be a shared, machine can be a shared instrument for all of the departments to use. And, you know, if it was stored in a building next to the parks department, that'd be fine with me. If it was stored in a building next to the high school, it would be fine with me. I don't care as long as it's utilized by everybody.
Thank you, Mike.
So can I just address Mike's first point, if I could? So part of the issue for that, for the school side, Mike, is are the two school vans that we use for the 18 to 21 transition program, mm-hmm. as well as our other school vans. So part of this structure was to house the vans and not have them sitting outside, you know, and to have them be covered, as well as storage for our sports equipment and such. Like, you know, currently we put our soccer nets kind of hanging on the trees in the woods. It's mm-hmm. it's just not a good use of what we should be doing with soccer nets. As a former soccer mom, just saying. So that was the reason why we were looking for a storage facility specifically at the high school.
Yeah, I have no problem with that at all. I was just, you know, thinking of a different place to have bigger. In my overall hope for the community, you know, the public works department would make things a little easier on you as well, having access to things and vehicles and equipment to move stuff around. And hopefully in the future, this comes to pass and a lot of this happens the way we had talked about it over the past few years. But I have no problem. I was just, could it go there and give you the size you need?
So I'll offer that the four bay was the size that John and I thought we needed. There was a community member of Kappa, a former board member, who thought we should go bigger.
Thank you. Scott, as the subcommittee chair, you're all set. Very good. Any other questions from anybody on the screen? Anybody here? Adam?
Just curious. I'm just curious. Superintendent Heck, is there any other, can you hear me?
Talk toward the owl, not toward the screen.
Are there any other opportunities to clean out some current storage buildings? I did see that we do have quite a few storage buildings, but is there an opportunity to clean out some of the others and perhaps, you know, make some room for some of that equipment, you know?
So, no. We have extremely limited storage, Alex, unfortunately, at the high school. I'll just offer, I don't think a woman was part of the design team on closet space and storage.
Actually, she was, but
she didn't live in my house.
But it's been my experience that school buildings are not built with storage in mind. It's
everything gets cut.
Yeah.
And it did.
And that was one of the things that did get quite a bit of cuts that were done in that kind of thing when we did that center school. Are there any other questions about the storage building? Then we'll move on. We did touch base on the Bolton Center School greenhouse. Is there any further thing you'd like to add to that, Kristen? Because you did not respond.
It really just needs to come down.
We did address a touch of the HVAC. Do you want to address that again, Kristen?
Muted.
Yep, sorry. I've attended, there is an HVAC grant that is currently has been put out by the state. I attended an hour and a half webinar last week on the grant. There has been some discussion with HF Lens as to whether or not our energy management system would qualify for that grant. They seem to be of the opinion that it would, but they had not participated in one of these webinars. I asked the question and I got a roundabout, well, I'm not really sure. And can you prove how it will improve indoor air quality? So I'm waiting for more information from HF Lens. The grant is due December 1st. It requires one of the first requirements is a comprehensive school town facility study. And the last facility study that was done by Bolton was in 2000. John dug it out of a drawer somewhere today and we dusted the dust off, and I have at least made a copy of it, but I'm not sure that that is going to in any way, shape or form meet the criteria that the state is requiring. So I, right now I am thinking it's a real possibility that this will not qualify based on the requirements and what we do not have in place for it.
I love the idea of a grant. That's a wonderful thing. But we know that, that they put this such a time, short time frame on that. I at this time, other is the on there. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Kristen?
I would just like to remind everybody, I know this is no one's favorite commentary, but special education changes daily. And that's true in every district. And we have some changes afoot right now that may very well choose to be very costly. Well, not choose, may very well have to be very costly to the district, and are things that we did not budget for because they were not even on our horizon last year.
Any questions for Kristen on special education? Bob DiPietro?
Not on special ed, but on HVAC. Can't emphasize enough, even if we are not eligible for a grant. I don't want to see HVAC go away because I personally think it's critical. I want to go on record accordingly.
Thank you.
Okay, so just this is a three board meeting. I just wanted to say, even if we don't meet the eligibility requirements, we still should not forget about the needs of the staff, teachers, and students. Okay?
Absolutely, Bob. And I would recommend that you look back and find the HVAC presentation that Kristen gave to the board and take another look at that, because it's very informative with the I believe, five different options.
You know what? I will send that out to everybody tomorrow, just so you all have it right in your inbox, okay?
Perfect. Thank you.
That would be wonderful. Now, at this time, because there isn't anything other at this point, I would...
I was going to say one other thing, other, if I could.
Yes, Ross Lally.
Very quickly. When we were talking about solar before, I just thought of something, and I don't... Something where our church got approached by an energy company that is partnering with... Eversource, and it's related to green energy. They, for $100,000 a year, will rent 5,000 square feet from you and put in a battery that's made out of containers, you know, shipping containers with battery components in it, and also comes with a power substation to convert that DC, you know, to convert DC to AC, and it's a 10-year lease, $10,000 a year, and you have an option to renew it for another 5 years, if I recall correctly. I can forward the information to Jim and to other people if you haven't seen it. But it's quite interesting. We decided we didn't want to even pursue it because it would fill up a whole parking lot, and it doesn't really look nice right in the center of town. But we do have other large areas with open space or parking lots and such that this might be an opportunity to explore. And basically, you sign an NDA with them, they send somebody out to look, and if they agree, like, yes, this is a good place based on the power infrastructure around, they will proceed further. So it's one of those, it wouldn't hurt to ask, you don't know until you ask them, but it would be a good source of, you know, revenue for the town, $100,000 a year.
Would you please pass that information on then to the two boards, three boards, and then you being one, obviously.
Yep.
Any questions for Ross on that?
Should I pass it on, or should it go to Jill to pass on? Because I don't know what looks like it's like ex parte communication.
Send it to me and I'll take care of it.
Jim can just forward it out.
Very good.
Just feel more comfortable doing it that way.
Understood. At this point, I would like to afford Amanda an opportunity because we missed some of the beginning part. Are there any questions that you have that we could go back to? We could revisit those because I think it's important that all these members have an opportunity to ask questions.
I think I'm good. Listening to a bunch of the board meetings up to now, so most of the projects are pretty familiar.
Very good. Anybody else on the screen have another question? We haven't heard from Chris or Sue or Diana. Is there any questions that you have? Or Ben?
Not at this time. This is Diana. Not at this time.
Very good.
Yeah, thank you. I know sometimes we feel like we can't talk, but I'm like, I'm always the one to just open my mouth and say, hey, I have a question. Thank you.
Sue, Chris, or Ben?
I'm good. Thank you for asking, though, Pam.
Good. Then if I don't hear from anybody else, then going once.
This is Ben. I don't have any questions.
Thank you. Very well, good.
All right. May I make a motion to adjourn?
We have a motion on the table. Seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you all for attending. And
you were much kinder. I would have moved that adjournment.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you for your presentations.
Thank you.